This programming is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. Information about their flexible premium life insurance plans available at relevantradio.com/forester. Talk radio for Catholic life to start your day.
Morning Air
on Relevant Radio. With Glenn Leverenz, here's your host, John Harper.
Good morning. 5 minutes after the hour, it is Tuesday, January 22nd, 2019. Have you noticed that men have become the focus of greater scrutiny, the so-called toxic masculinity? Some of it is deserved, perhaps some is not. Sheila Lagminas will look at toxic masculinity tonight on A Closer Look at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific Time. And we'll take a look at this phenomenon here and also the new Gillette ad that's creating a great deal of controversy. Tommy Tai, the Catholic hipster, joins us from San Francisco coming up in this hour. Later on today, Monsignor Stuart Swetland here with a Morning Air edition of Go Ask Your Father to answer your questions of faith. But as we come to this brand new day, it's a day that we offer to the Lord, and we invite you to join us for the morning offering. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, we offer you our prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day, for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart, in union with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, for the salvation of souls, the reparation for sins, the reunion of all Christians, and in particular for the intentions of the Holy Father this month. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And in this month that's dedicated to life, One Life LA just last weekend, the March for Life, maybe you were in Washington, D.C., and perhaps you're also planning to go to the March for Life West Coast coming up this weekend in San Francisco. We'll see you there. We pray for life. Meantime, in the state of New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo has vowed to protect and expand abortion access for women in the state, demanding a bill that would allow abortions up to the moment of birth.
And I want to pass this year a constitutional amendment that writes into the Constitution a provision protecting a woman's right to control her own reproductive health. We'll pass it next year. We'll put it on the ballot. We'll write it into the Constitution.
That's Governor Andrew Cuomo in the state of New York. Later on in this hour, Kathleen Gallagher, the director of pro-life activities for the New York State Catholic Conference, will join us. And right now, someone who is also in the epicenter of this controversy in terms of guiding the governor and his Catholic beliefs, at least we hope, is Bishop Edward Scharfenberger, the bishop of the Diocese of Albany. Bishop Scharfenberger, good morning.
Good morning, John. And to everybody who's listening.
Governor Cuomo is a Roman Catholic. I don't know if he practices his faith. Have you had any conversations with him about faith and about what he's proposing?
We have over the years, while I don't speak about personal conversations among the bishops and any person in public office, because that is a matter of pastoral confidentiality. But Governor Cuomo is well aware of the discrepancy, in my view, between what he is advocating, as you just heard. It's couched in language of health and of rights, but it is anything but a promotion of health and rights. Quite the contrary, and almost as an abortion advocate, but as typically, I would say almost an abortion cheerleader, you know, in the aggressive way in which he has promoted this. And as usual, with legislation like this, it is always couched, sugar-coated in language that appears to be what it is not. And if you go right down the line between what, in fact, I call it a Death Star of a bill, this bill actually promotes, and what it purports to promote, you know, it's destructive of family life, which ultimately is really the evil of abortion, because what it does, it cuts right into the middle of relationships between men and women. It deprives women of their own children. It deprives families of their own natural orientation to bring life, to give life, to nurture life. It's really an attack on the family itself, as well as an obvious personal attack on women and children, and of course men as well too. So it's a complete hoax and anything but. It's almost like a diabolical reversal if you consider the act of abortion itself. It's almost like a diabolical reversal of the Love Act itself. And you can see how being enwrapped in this kind of evil is something that has to be brought to light. And, of course, when you do focus light on it, it collapses. But unfortunately, the abortion advocates, as Governor Cuomo has become very aggressively, continue to obscure that.
It's called the Reproductive Health Act, as we've been talking over the last several days in coverage of the March for Life. Satan loves to wrap these issues in beautiful paper with bows on it. Reproductive Health Act sounds relatively innocuous, but what it would also do is to allow nurse practitioners and physician assistants, qualified healthcare professionals, to provide abortions. And also this bill, Bishop Scharfenberger, would require insurance companies to provide free contraceptive care. And, of course, providing abortions up to the moment of birth. But here's the thing. The governor is saying that he won't sign the state budget unless this is passed. So, in essence, he's holding the state of New York and every Catholic voter in the state of New York hostage.
John, you could not have said it better. And what you began to say at the beginning, too, the granting of non-doctors permission to perform abortions, which, of course, does nothing to advance the security and health of women, even though that's what is purported to do. And secondly, as you say, he is holding hostage, condoning basically coerced or involuntary abortions, and by repealing all criminal sanctions, even in cases where a perpetrator wants to make his partner unpregnant through an act of physical violence. How does this represent any kind of progress in choice, safety, or the health of women? So, and obviously removing protection for any infant accidentally born alive during abortion. And it's actually a kind of cruelty that would shock the conscience of somebody if it even was done to a dog or a cat. So, when you expose it, and it's not difficult to expose, you see, you have to ask yourself, why is this being done? And I'll tell you why it's being done. This is purely political. This is not done out of conscience, out of concern for women, but to appeal to a certain and relatively small base of voters as part of a coalition of voters that people in positions like Governor Cuomo need to cultivate in order to advance their own political interests. It has nothing to do with morality. It has nothing to do with concern for women. It's pure politics. And unfortunately, it's being done at the expense of innocent lives. And we saw things like this happen in pre-Hitlerian Germany, where once again an elected official, actually was the mayor of Munich, Adolf Hitler, prior to pre-Hitlerian Germany, we saw the same kind of things being done. And it is time for the American public to wake up to this aggressive deprivation of rights and dehumanization of human beings.
Bishop Edward Scharfenberger is the Bishop of the Diocese of Albany, New York, joining us this morning at 13 after on Morning Air. We are talking about New York Governor Andrew Cuomo demanding a bill that would allow abortions up to birth. And he's demanding that or he will not sign the state budget. 888-914-9149 to join the conversation, 888-914-9149. One of the questions that I always wanted to ask a politician who supports abortion, and these are comments from former presidential candidate Hillary Clinton, who also spoke up for the governor. And these are her words, Bishop Scharfenberger, and I'm quoting, "Advancing the rights of women and girls is the great unfinished business of the 21st century." Of course, she's talking about this issue of abortion and reproductive rights. And here's the question that I want to ask, and I know it's a rhetorical question to you. How is taking a baby's life the unfinished business of the 21st century? And I think that's a question that we all want answered.
Exactly. And the only way one can, if you take it to its logical confusions, I think that's probably the way to say it. It's logical confusion. It was a Freudian slip.
Yes.
But it is a confusion of what life actually is. All of the science, science is the friend of our moral teaching. All of the science flies in the face, smack in the face of the continuing narrative that somehow or other an unborn child is an attachment to the body of another human being. It is a clearly a unique individual from the moment of conception. The DNA is there, it's set for life. A process has begun. The invention of the sonogram, which was a wonderful development over the years, unfortunately not available at the time of Roe versus Wade. But one of the reasons as we go forward that so many younger people, however you want to categorize them, you know, Generation X or Z, whatever, but so many young people are coming to recognize the truth, the factual scientific truth of the humanity of the unborn human being. They've seen their own sonograms. They can't be fooled anymore to believing that somehow or other they were just appendages to a to an umbilical cord that had no life in themselves, no identity in themselves, no future in themselves. And of course, you know, to put it realistically too, John, and anybody listening, does any woman really want to have to face this choice? You know, remember years ago we used to hear Kate Michelman, you know, used to say, you know, abortion is not a good thing, and the whole thing we want to do is make it rarer. And gone are those days, you know, where we see this aggressive advocacy of almost shouting at abortion, something that deep down I don't think any human being really wants to see happen, because what a terrible choice to have to feel. And I can't help but think that in so many cases, one of the main reasons why this would be done is because a woman does not feel the support that she needs to have and should have for the pregnancy, for the child that she's carrying. And we have to do a better job on that as well, too. We are, I think, you know, I want to provide every resource available to mothers that might be facing difficult decisions, concerned about their own health, the health of their child and their family, to provide that support. And, of course, the Catholic Church has done that and continues to do that like no one else. We have a Rachel ministry in our diocese, for example, to support post-abortive women. We have so many ways in which we promote and support family life right across the board. And, of course, it's the heart and soul of what parishes do right down on the local level. But so, yes, the March for Life was a wonderful experience you alluded to. And as I've said many times, it seems to be getting younger every year.
Yeah. Thanks be to God for that, with the changing demographics. And we see the future of the Roman Catholic Church here in the United States with those younger faces involved in the March for Life. Bishop Edward Scharfenberger joining us from the Diocese of Albany, New York. Governor Cuomo in New York is demanding a bill allowing abortions up to birth, or he will not sign the state budget. So he's certainly holding us hostage as residents of the state of New York, as Catholics in the state of New York. Dan in Downers Grove, Illinois, joining our conversation here at 888-914-9149. Dan, good morning. Welcome to Morning Air.
Good morning, John, and good morning, Bishop. I just got back from the March for Life with my daughter. Good morning, I'm sorry. I just got back from the March for Life with my daughter on Saturday morning. And the March for Life in the pro-life movement is alive and well. However, with this thing with, I live in Illinois, where our governor a few months ago signed a bill that anybody has a right to have an abortion at any time. So New York is kind of heading down the same path. With Cuomo being a Catholic, when are the leaders of the church, the bishops, the cardinals, finally going to stand up and say, listen, you do this, you're excommunicated, you and your family. You can no longer receive the Eucharist, you're out. I think we need to have a good example to show the faithful that the Catholic hierarchy will not stand for this any longer. It's great that people in the parishes are doing these things and, you know, helping the unexpected mothers and all these different things, but we need leadership to start helping us with this. And I'll wait for your comment.
Well, you raised the issue of excommunication, and as you know, excommunication is a formal declaration that a person may not receive communion publicly. Governor Cuomo himself does not receive communion publicly. I have never done that. And the purpose, as you know, of excommunication, I don't want to get sidetracked on methods, because the whole purpose of excommunication is to note the sinner so that they know that he has been warned, he has been noted, and secondly, to bring them back to a full practice of the faith. It is meant to be effective, to achieve that purpose, not to to satisfy the desire to see some punishment being. It's not a punishment. It is meant to be reparative and constructive. And you if somebody shows me how this would bring Mr. Cuomo back to the full practice of the faith, I'd be the first to be willing to do it. I don't think it would have that effect. I don't think he gives a darn about what the church does or does not. In fact, would use it for political purposes against us. So, and we can, of course, we can debate that. But if it does not achieve its purpose, then it's blowing hot air. So as far as I'm concerned, he has already excluded himself by what he's doing. And the second thing is, where does it stop? We have to consider, not only is Mr. Cuomo and other people who are in the position of governor doing this, what about the sponsors of the legislation? There are several Catholics in our diocese, for example, who are legislators who are actually sponsoring this as well. So where does it end? And let me take it one step further, too. The Democratic Party platform has actually actively supported measures like this. So the next step, excommunicate the entire Democratic Party. Is that where we go? And what effectiveness does this have? I think it's incredibly terrible that we live in a time when, in order to be a member of one political party, one must actively support things like this. And we remember the case of Governor Casey, who years ago, I don't remember the name offhand, but years ago there was a governor in Pennsylvania that refused to go along with his, I think it was the father of the present governor, who refused to support the agenda of his party, and he was virtually ostracized. So, excommunication can be an effective tool if it brings about the repentance and the reform of the life of the person against who it is levied. And it need not be public. It can also be done privately, and there may actually be individuals that have been excommunicated that the public would not know of. So it is it's not really a sanction so much as it is a noting that the person's soul is in jeopardy. And I know that many, many bishops have had conversations. I know Archbishop Naumann has with Governor Sebelius, and we will continue to do what we can to have conversations, as I have myself, with many of our politicians who support measures like this, warning them of the danger this is to their own soul. I mean, we all have to face God someday. I have very, very clearly stated in my writing that anyone that supports a measure like this is in danger of alienating themselves from the communion of the Catholic Church. And if we have to take it to the next measure, we will. And that's up to basically every individual bishop.
Dan, thank you
for the question.
Thank you very much for the call, Dan, because a lot of us feel that same frustration that Dan does, Bishop Scharfenberger, as we look at Governor Cuomo in New York demanding a bill allowing abortions up to birth. You said, where does this end? Let's turn that around. Where does this begin for us as Catholics? What can we do? We've got the power of prayer for the conversion of souls. We understand that. That's a very basic tenet of our faith. But where do we begin now as Catholics to change this mindset, this culture of death here in the United States? We're marching in Washington, in Los Angeles, in communities all across the country. We'll do that with tens of thousands in San Francisco this weekend. But where's the pressure that we can put on these men and women to change minds?
Well, the pressure, if we can put it in that way, and I've used that word myself, really comes from the light of the truth itself and promoting the truth about what actually is at stake here. That this aggressive abortion legislation leads to the death of human beings. It leads to pain and suffering on the part of their mothers and their families. It leads to a destruction of what marriage the married life is called to be, to nurture and to welcome life. And it also leads to the disruption not only of family life, which is the basic fundamental unit of society, but of the community itself. And we've seen that happen in any culture. in which abortion has been promoted. I mentioned pre-Hitlerian Germany. It's happening right here now. We see the gradual weakening of those family ties. So this is indeed a Death Star that is directed at life itself. And we showing those consequences. And also just listening, I think one of the things we do need to do is we need also to listen as well, too. Because many times what people are angry about is not what they're really angry about. And all this, you know, as you know, there's a lot of shouting going on. Sometimes you get into these confrontations among people, even in family life itself, you know. I think what we really do have to do is actually remain in conversation, particularly with people that are struggling with this decision. Listen to their pain. Listen to what they're saying. Listen to a woman, for example, who is carrying a child and is wondering whether or not she will be able to have the means of support from her family and from her friends and from her community to be able to not only bear this child, you know, to full term, but also to take care of the child after he or she is born. What is the situation she's in? Is there a husband there? Is there even a man there taking responsibility for the life that he produced? How do we make those connections happen? How do we support young people? And, of course, what the church is doing through many of its ministries is doing just that. So what we do is we provide a listening voice. We provide support. We provide nurturing. We work together. We try to build community, to rebuild the community that this abortion practice destroys. So it's always been the Christian I would say imperative to bring people together, to unite, to support life, to work with one another. St. Pope Francis always keeps talking about this act of accompanying, that we abandon no one, particularly those who are most vulnerable. And the very sign of our truth and authenticity as Catholic Christians is the way in which we accompany particularly the poorest of the poor and the most marginalized. No one is more poor or marginalized than a mother and a child that have no one else to support them, who are making this momentous decision to bring a life into the world and to support it. So this is where we come together as family.
And Bishop Scharfenberger, we have about 2 minutes remaining, but let's take a look at hope and hope for the future as we see the governor of New York demanding a bill allowing abortions up to birth or he won't sign the state budget. You've seen it yourself. We've all seen it with the changing demographics in the March for Life. These are the future leaders of America with a mindset of life. So we have great hope that these young men and women will get involved in the political process in their communities and their states and once and for all change this mindset in the United States.
That's correct. And I also would take it one step further before we even go to the political realm. There's very, very much people can do within their own parishes and their own immediate circle of concern. I often have spoken about the need to distinguish between our circle of concern and our circle of influence. And we do have these larger concerns about legislation and maybe even litigation and the big picture. But what we can do on a local level with the people that we are actually with in our family lives and our neighbors and our local communities is even more influential to actually listen and to accompany and to hear the struggles and the pain. Many times these questions come up in small prayer groups where people feel the confidence to talk about struggles they're having personally, maybe with a daughter or a friend. And these kind of conversations really make connections, and that's where the support is most needed right now.
Bishop Edward Scharfenberger is the Bishop of the Diocese of Albany, New York. Of course, we'll continue to follow this story with Governor Cuomo demanding a bill allowing abortions up to birth or he won't sign the state budget. We'll be talking a little bit more about that with Kathleen Gallagher, who is with the New York State Catholic Conference. Bishop Scharfenberger, we have about 60 seconds remaining. May we have your blessing, please?
Dear Lord, thank you so much for calling each and every one of us to be witnesses to your love. Help us to show that love wherever we go by speaking the truth and living it with clarity and charity, particularly those who are most vulnerable. We pray for all mothers. We pray for those who are struggling with their pregnancy, that we may support them in every way, their health, their life, and their goodness through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Bishop Edward Scharfenberger, the Bishop of the Diocese of Albany, New York. Bishop Scharfenberger, you remain in our prayers. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, John.
Toxic masculinity. You've heard about it. What is it? Are you suffering from it? We'll find out next with Tommy Tai on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.